Welcome to Gaimin' Cast, a podcast about dedicated handheld retro gaming, with your host, Ryan Clater.
Welcome, one and all, to episode number 5 of the Game and Cast podcast. I am your host, Ryan Clater, and it's always so nice to be back with you here. I've really been enjoying putting these episodes together for you, and this one is certainly no exception, because today I have another interview to share with you. I'll be talking with a longtime, dedicated, retro handheld gaming collector named Veronique, who originally started playing these wonderful LCD games upon their release, and since that time, she's amassed a substantial collection which spans well over a dozen different manufacturers and over 300 games total. I first became aware of Veronique as I posted a request for some photographs of a battery cover for a particular game I was looking for, to which she was kind enough to respond, and since then, I've seen her responding in supportive ways to many others in the handheld gaming community, which is one of the reasons I wanted to highlight her as a collector in this series. And finally, before I quit yapping and let loose with the interview, I wanted to mention how this came about. As you'll come to know through this interview, Veronique is Italian, and much like David Schmeidle's interview on episode number 1 of Game & Cast, Veronique was not confident enough in her English to participate in a live interview, so this conversation was initially conducted over the course of a number of messages on Facebook Messenger. Once our interview concluded, I compiled all of our questions and responses into a word processing document, did my best to revise any minor translation errors, and stay true to Veronique's original intent. At that point, I sent the entire transcription back to Veronique for her approval, and once that happened, she recorded each and every response you'll hear in this interview. So you'll hear each of our voices here, but if it sounds like we were in two separate locations when it was recorded, well, it's because we were. Despite that, I'm awfully thankful that Veronique was willing to go to all this trouble to make this interview happen, and I can't wait to share her story with you. So let's get started. Can you introduce yourself? What is your name? When were you born? And where do you live?
Hello everyone! My name is Veronique. I'm 44 years old, almost 45. I'm Italian, but my mom is French, and I live in Rome. I'm also a computer technician.
What was your first experience with handheld gaming?
At the age of 7, my father gave me my first pocket electronic game, a solar-powered Casio Farpanic, which I still have in good working order. From that moment, I was hooked and fell in love with handheld gaming and LCD watches. For me, that Farpanic is a bit like Scrooge McDuck's lucky number one dime. Since then, I have started asking my parents or relatives for an electronic game every birthday or holiday. When I received them, my heart was filled with joy. I felt like the happiest person in the world. At the time, I was living in an apartment, and it was not always possible for me to play outdoors, because my parents both worked. So, I turned to my games and went on adventures with them.
Can you tell us about your retro handheld gaming collection? When did you start collecting, and what does it include now?
My collection includes several brands: Nintendo, Tiger, Casio, Q&Q, Wutek, Acclaim, Gacken, Bandai, Lancey, etc. I don't remember exactly when I started collecting them. Perhaps it was around the time I got a job, then occasionally I would buy one. Mostly I would purchase games from a series I already had, or others I played during my childhood. When I was young, during recess at school or going on a field trip, my favorite activity was to share electronic handheld games with one of my classmates.
What would you say is your current focus on retro handheld gaming? Is it playing, or competing, repairing, collecting, or something I'm not thinking of?
Right now I collect them, but all the games I have are functional and many are from my childhood. They are all used, loose examples, because my purpose has always been to play and admire them. I only have 4 games still in sealed boxes, which are reruns of some Tiger titles that Hasbro released in 2020. but I don't think they will remain sealed for long, because I want to play with those too. I think I have about 300 titles and hope to be able to put them in a showcase at home as soon as possible. I've already done this with my Nintendo Game & Watch games, as well as the World Game Boy series and the legendary Game Gear by Sega, which accompanied me to adolescence.
Does your interest in collecting extend beyond retro handheld gaming, like other types of gaming or even other interests?
In terms of collections, my main one is definitely vintage electronic games, but I also collect French comics like Asterix et Obelix and Tintin. I like drawing. I'm also a fan of pinball machines. I have one at home, but video games. I have an arcade cabinet at home. And I love motorcycles. I own a Yamaha FZ6, and I've been a biker since I was 18 years old. Naturally, I'm a fan of electronics and computers too. One more passion of mine is growing hot chilies. I have about 80 plants of many different varieties that I replant every year. I dry them, I green them, I make spicy sweet and sour jams, spicy salt, spicy oil, spicy chocolates. Very, very hot hobby.
Okay, I have a lot of questions about your extracurricular interests. As a cartoonist, I love that you're into comics and drawing, and I laughed out loud about your Scrooge McDuck comparison, as I was a big Disney Duck fan growing up. And you know I'm a big pinball enthusiast as well, but let's start with your interest in motorcycles. I've seen the motorcycle imagery on your profile images, and I just looked up the Yamaha FZ6, and that looks fast. Do you race? Do you ride for fun? What got you interested in that? And how has your relationship with motorbikes changed since you first started riding?
When I was a little girl, I was in love with helmets. Don't ask me why. I only know that my nanny's son, who is 9 years my senior, and with whom I was often together, had a lot of friends with motorcycles. When they came to visit him, I would put on their helmets and I was happy. As soon as I had the chance, I got on mopeds, scooters and motorcycles, with them obviously as a passenger. That feeling of freedom and wind on my face, I could not find it anywhere. For me, it was an inexhaustible source of energy. At the age of 18, I got a motorcycle license, instead of a license to drive a car, which I received the following year. And with the money I earned from small translations jobs, lessons, babysittings, I bought my first motorcycle. This was done in secret, since my parents were against it. One day, from the window of our house, they saw me while I was driving it. At that point, they realized how stubborn I was, and no one would be able to change my mind. Since then, I have had several motorcycles from various manufacturers, like Aprilia, Kawasaki, Suzuki, and Yamaha. I have winded many kilometers since then, because a motorcycle has always been my first means of transport. I have also taken some nice trips, both in Italy and abroad. I even raced on several circuits. The experience of racing is pure adrenaline and maximum concentration. When you get on the bike, everything else disappears. You concentrate on driving and that's it. You don't think about anything else. The feeling of freedom pervades you. You feel like the master of the world. And in that moment, you don't need anything else. Other motorcycle riders will know what I'm talking about.
Do you see any parallels between motorcycle riding and retro handheld gaming? A lot of games have this increasing sense of urgency in the tasks that you're trying to perform, and I've noticed that there's a heightened feeling of adrenaline and concentration, as you said, as the game progresses. I can't imagine it compares to moving at 100 miles an hour with nothing between you and the road, but I couldn't help but notice a minor parallel.
I don't know if there is any connection between playing electronic games and riding a motorcycle, but I can tell you that they are two activities that require concentration, skill, reactivity, and also in a certain way, memory, to avoid mistakes that you have already committed. But the adrenaline of beating a record or reaching 300 points without errors is only a fraction of what you feel when you are on the bike, of course.
Can you talk about your relationship to the retro handheld gaming community? I mentioned this a little bit in the intro, but your posts always strike me as so supportive and caring.
Well, I probably have a predisposition to help others. For the last 10 years, I was in charge of the help desk service where I worked, and in the past, I worked for many years in the electronic trade. I like the relationships that is established by working with the public. In the end, customers buy because they trust you and because you take care of them, not necessarily because they need a certain thing. Furthermore, being able to help those who share my same passion is gratifying, and if I can make myself useful, it always makes me very happy.
Outside of your beloved Casio Fire Panic, what would you say is the most significant game in your collection? This could be in terms of monetary value or sentimental value, however you want to answer this.
Generally, the games that are most significant to me are the ones I played from my childhood that were given to me. Looking at the games I have, I can tell you the story of each of them, when I got it, how, and of course when. The ones I care about the most are those given to me by my father, then by my relatives, then by friends, and then those I bought for myself. I also have a special place in my heart for my first Nintendo Game & Watch Fire, which was given to me by my nanny for my first communion.
You mentioned having particular memories associated with each game you own. Can you tell us a story about a game or two in your collection?
When I was little, a friend of mine brought a Q&Q Flying Saucer to school. I liked it a lot and I was pretty good at it. So I described what the game was like aesthetically to my father. He came home one day and gave it to me. Too bad when he got was the Sunwing Home Sweet Home, which was very similar size, shape and color, but completely different gameplay. Similarly, I told my aunt that I liked the double screen game, referring to Nintendo's Donkey Kong, and for Christmas she instead gave me The Pirate, distributed in Italy by Jig. There are plenty of other stories, like the time I exchanged the games I had with those of my mates, or I sold mine to be able to buy others, or even when I dropped the Nintendo Crystal Screen and my childhood enthusiasm was shattered along with the game. How long do we have?
What games are you currently searching for to add to your collection?
I would love to finish my Nintendo Game & Watch collection. Currently, I'm missing the Purple Judge, Flagman, Egg, Mario the Juggler, Super Mario Bros. Crystal Screen, and the two Purple Panorama screens, Donkey Circus and Mickey Mouse. Since the costs of the latter are quite high, I'm also trying to complete some other series, which are a little less costly. For example, Wootex 3 Screen series has 8 titles, but I only have 4. I'm looking for Super Soccer, Water Polo, Mars Raid and Cups Chase. I don't mind losing games without boxes or manuals, because as I told you before, they must be ready for play.
As a collector, how do you deal with purchasing games these days? Do you give yourself a monthly or annual budget? Do you have a maximum price that you'll spend on a game?
I don't have a monthly budget, but since it is a passion and not a necessity, I cannot prioritize game purchases quite as high as I'd like in our list of financial expenses. With that said, I always look a little online. If there is something that might interest me, perhaps a title that I need in order to finish a series, or one that I used to play as a child, I get it. However, shopping sprees are not for me. Spending more than 500 euros for a game that works but without a box, for example, is out of the question, even if it's an egg.
Can you envision a point at which your collection will be complete?
When I manage to complete the Nintendo Game & Watch series, it will be a great day. That's my primary goal. It's also true, however, that having started so many other series, I will probably continue to try to complete those too. Who knows?
And finally, is there anything you'd like to mention to the retro handheld gaming community that I've not thought to ask you about?
I'm happy to be a part of this group, and to see how many people share my passion for these games. I've learned things I wouldn't have otherwise, and I have seen game titles I never knew about before. I've chatted online with some folks I've met on the group, spoken on the phone with some, I met with others. I wish there were more women and girls in the group. I don't personally know any who have a passion for retro games, and I don't understand why. Come to think of it, the only girl I knew who won one was a friend of mine in middle school. She had Tronica's Goalkeeper, and we played endless games together. More than 30 years have passed since then, but as you can see, I remember everything.
All right, there you have it. Véronique, thank you so very much for all your time spent on this interview. I really appreciate your willingness to have your voice on the show. I am so hopelessly monolingual. I can't even imagine trying to respond to an interview question in Italian. It would be such a colossal mess. In high contrast, I thought your responses were wonderful, and I'm certain our listeners will too. So, grazie molto for stepping outside of your comfort zone. I hope that you're as proud of this interview as I am to share it with the world. So, just a little housekeeping and record-keeping break here. For those interested, this interview with Véronique was conducted over the course of early February 2021 on Facebook Messenger. We recorded our parts separately on February 19th, 2021, and this episode's original air date was on May 10th, 2021. Now, before I start the sign-off, I wanted to make a quick call to action on behalf of Véronique. If you happen to have some extra VTech tri-screens just laying around, I'm just going to remind you of those four titles Véronique had on her wish list, which are the VTech Super Soccer, Water Polo, Mars Raid, and Cops Chase. Should you have one you are willing to sell, please get in touch with Véronique. She's agreed to let me share her email address, which is diabolique@libero.it. And if you're unable to decipher my butchered Italian, that email spelled out is diabolique@libero.it. I'll go ahead and include that information in the show notes for today's episode as well. And hey, let's see what we as a community can dig up. Speaking of this episode's show notes, you can also find a number of other things there besides Véronique's wish list and contact info, like some pictures of her handheld gaming collection, a photo of her very first LCD handheld game, that Casio Fire Panic, and even some shots of her other extracurricular activities, like growing hot chilies and racing around on motorcycles. You can find all that and all the episodes of the Game & Cast podcast on our website, gameandcast.com. That's GameAndCast.com, or on any podcatching service. We'll see you back here in another couple weeks on May 24th, 2021 for our sixth episode. Whoa boy, we're really starting to come down the home stretch here. If you recall, I mentioned on our episode zero that this podcast will be a limited 8-episode season, not counting episode zero. So we've got 3 more episodes to go. So let's enjoy them while we've got them. Next episode, number 6, will feature another deep dive game review about an amazing game that I think is really flying under the radar. From the gameplay videos and reviews I've been able to find, no one really understands this game, and I can't wait to tell you all about it in a couple weeks. Until next time, if you have any comments, questions, or thoughts, you can contact me at the show's email address, ryan@gameandcast.com. All right, that's going to do it for another Game and Cast episode. Thanks, as always, for taking this audio journey with me. And remember, I'd like nothing more than for you to be safe, mask up, and game on.
Ciao a tutti, bye bye guys, and thanks for the interview, Ryan. Ciao!